Hello, everybody. Welcome to Cloud Cover Show. This is Haishi. Today, I'm joined by Bruno and Mani to talk about the Swiss Fabric on Linux. So this is the third and the last installment of our Swiss Fabric mini-series. So in the first episode, you saw introduction of Swiss Fabric. Then we talked about Swiss Fabric on containers. And today, our topic is kind of special. It's Swiss Fabric on Linux. So we're Microsoft. Why we make this thing to work on Linux. So I'm very glad to have Mani to join us today to talk about all about Swiss Fabric on Linux.
Yes.
So why don't you introduce yourself before
sure.
we start?
Yeah. Thanks, Haji. Yeah. So my name is Mani Ramaswamy, and I'm a product manager in the Service Fabric team, and specifically driving the Service Fabric on Linux platform. So jumping right in to answer your question?
Before we start,
yes.
Okay. Like I said, we're Microsoft. What's our motivation of doing our PaaS platform on Linux?
This is like the topic that everybody's talking about right now. And you know, like, we're really excited about presenting this. There's like a lot of hype going around this.
Yeah.
So yeah, can you like tell us more about the motivations?
Yeah, so a couple of things. So, you know, first, you know, we are a distributed systems platform, and you know, one of our stated goals is we want to run anything and run it anywhere. So when it comes to running anything, as you've seen from the previous Windows episodes, that, hey, you know, we can run on Azure, we can run on on-premise data centers, we can run on other clouds, we can pretty much run any guest executable, and so on. But in addition to that, there's another step. Hey, lots of customers we see have basically a mix of both Windows and Linux machines that are running.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that, you know, you get a good experience not just on Windows, but you also get the same experience on Linux as well when you're using Service Fabric. So as a distributed systems platform, we want to make sure that we are available on both OSs. So to a large extent, that's what drove us to migrate our product to also make sure that it's functioning on Linux.
Mm-hmm. So is this a totally different code base just for Linux?
No, actually, one of the guiding principles that we have is, hey, you know, if you're making some improvements to the platform, whether it be Windows or Linux, we want to make sure that it shows up in both areas. So the code base is actually a shared code base. So we derive off the same code base for both
platforms.
Perfect. Cool.
So please.
So whatever development you have in Windows, you have on Linux.
Well, not so much what development experience, but in terms of the behavior of the runtime, in terms of things like, for example, monitoring the cluster using Service Fabric Explorer, mm-hmm. or you know, just the commands that you can actually use to interact with the cluster management commands, those mm-hmm. kinds of things, programming models, many of those same things. It's the behavior of the runtime and the platform is identical.
But we get pretty much the same UIs we have seen, like the web UI and the management of the nodes and all. Pretty much the same thing, right?
Yes. So in Service Fabric Explorer, it's ditto.
Excellent.
But I guess there won't be Visual Studio for this.
Yeah. So good question. So when you look at that, so as I said, like the runtime is actually the behavior we try to make sure that it's essentially the same, mm-hmm. and so both operating systems can leverage any improvements on one. Now, when it comes to development experience, that's where you know the twain departs substantially, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
When you look at a Windows developer, you know, Windows developers are used to using Visual Studio, writing code in C#.
Yeah.
So for that, we basically tuned our experience on Windows to make sure, hey, we have a great experience on Visual Studio. While we support all executables, we offer C# as the first class programming language which we use for our built-in programming models.
Yeah.
Now, the Linux world is slightly different.
Yeah.
What do you think, Haishi?
Yeah.
So on the Linux world, you know, it's using Visual Studio as the full-fledged editor is not so common.
Mm-hmm.
You use Visual Studio Code, but it's a code editor.
Yeah.
So there are more code editors on Linux. So people use Vi and Emacs and VS Code a lot more than Visual Studio. And in addition, people use a lot more command line tools.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, if you looked at people on Windows using PowerShell, people on Linux use CLI and Bash.
Yeah.
That's all what they use.
Yeah.
And
although PowerShell is coming to Linux, though.
You and one other person probably.
I'm
sorry.
No, not really. It's really popular now, but yeah.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. So that is more common in the Linux world. Now, in addition, the other difference are when you look at programming languages in general, Windows C# is big on Windows, whereas on Linux we saw that hey, you know, there's a lot of developers on Java as well as we make sure that we are on C# as well. So we wanted to make sure that We added Java as one of our built-in programming model languages as well. So you can support all the programming models using Java on Linux.
Cool.
Just a digression, eventually on Windows, we'll support Java as well. But for now, we focused, because our focus was on Linux, we prioritized Java on Linux first.
Awesome.
Does that mean we have a Java SDK for Service Fabric?
Yes, on Linux today. Today, we have it as a private technical preview. It will be a public technical preview end of September.
Oh, awesome. That's awesome. Some news going on here.
Yep. And on Windows, it will come eventually. We don't have a timeline yet. We've just been focusing on testing it on Linux.
Yeah.
And so so one other thing to add on top of all this that I said is, so we are using tools like Yeoman and Gradle, which are what commonly people use on Linux and Java in order to build templates and build their applications. In addition to that, we also wanted to make sure that we have a reasonable Mac experience. So as you can see, I have a MacBook here. So, and what we made sure is we integrated with Vagrant virtual machines so that, the experience is kind of similar to what you would see on Linux, even though it's underneath an operating system, underneath a VM.
Okay.
So, and I'll show you a couple of demos on how well that works.
Wow.
Let's see that.
I can't wait to see the demos. That's exciting.
And to caveat all this is still rudimentary, still very much a work in progress. We are still a technical preview. It's still going to be a technical preview end of September. So a lot more things to do, and I'm sure we'll continue to improve it.
Thank you for unveiling it in our show. We feel privileged now.
Okay, I guess you'll show us some demos?
Yeah, I'll show some demos. So here, this is just a vanilla Ubuntu VM, running Ubuntu 16.04. So if I do a lsb release-a, it's going to tell, hey, it's Ubuntu, nothing more.
Mm-hmm.
So I've already installed Service Fabric, the SDK, on it. And again, one of the tenets that we had when we built this product on Linux is, hey, we need to go where our developers are and not impose something from the way that we do things on Windows.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not very common on Linux to go and pick an SDK or something from some website and download it, and that's not the common process. If you're on a Debian-based distro, you're going to do a sudo apt-get install.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I've already installed it, but just to show you, hey, you can do, you would be able to do all, run this command and it'll actually pick it up from the tree, it'll install it, it'll build all its dependencies and everything.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it official now to be on apt-get.
it's actually on apt. Now, so the first simple demo that I'm going to show here is I've installed the SDK. I've already started the dev cluster, the Service Fabric cluster. Starting the Service Fabric cluster is as simple as just running a script. So, there is a folder called Microsoft SDK that the apt-get package brings in. And under that, you have Service Fabric. And under that, you have the folder cluster setup, under which you have dev cluster setup and dev cluster cleanup. I've already run it, so cluster is actually running
already.
So
that's pretty much just a script to deploy a cluster development cluster, right?
Yeah, to start a development cluster.
In your machine.
In this machine, yes.
Exactly.
And is it also a 5-node cluster?
Okay. Yes, it will mimic a 5-node cluster,
okay.
Yes.
Cool.
So if I do a PSAUX,
that's better for me that I'm so lazy. It's already done.
You will see all the fabric processes that are running there. So this is all running in the cluster. And you see 5 instances of each because it's a 5-node cluster.
Cool.
And just like you would do on Windows, you can actually go to your browser window. And I have it open here. And for some reason, it's not scaling lately. So this is my local host browser window. And
is it the same web UI?
Yeah, it's the same web UI, it's the same Service Fabric Explorer. So currently no applications deployed, 5 nodes, it's all the same, as you would expect on.
And where can you see that it's Linux there?
You can't.
Oh.
The idea is that you shouldn't be able to tell that.
You can't.
Really?
However, when I'll show you, how to create a, when you go to create a 5-node cluster, say on Azure, you can actually select Windows or Linux. And once you select Linux, then you can actually SSH into one of these nodes, and then you can do an lsb-release to know, hey, it's actually running Ubuntu if you did care. But for the most part, the application models and the programming models are the same, so it should be fairly transparent.
It should.
Cool.
All right. So now what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go ahead and deploy or create a small application and just deploy it to this local cluster.
So now we get to see the tools that
you get to see.
Use.
Yeah. So first, I'm going to show you with the command line tools.
Make it.
Yeah. I'm wondering if there's a way to just scale this. Maybe not.
No, that's okay.
Yeah. All right. So the tool that we use is called Yeoman. It mm-hmm. basically builds the scaffolding, and to build it, we use Gradle when it's Java. And so let's do Yeoman Azure SF. So in a couple of seconds, it'll ask me, hey, what is your application name? So I can say demo. And now it's actually choosing, letting me choose what is the framework that you want for the service. Do you want a reliable active service on Java, or do you want that on C#, or do you want a reliable stateless service on Java and C#? And of course, you can run any guest executable, so you can. It'll also has a framework for that too.
That's pretty
make
sweet.
It fast. Now, you might have noticed there's something missing here.
Stateful.
Yeah, no, stateful is there. Actors are stateful, so you do have stateful there. But but you're right, there's missing stateful services.
Yes.
So, because collections are still not available on Linux.
Oh.
Okay.
The reason it's not available is because the collections are written in C# in Windows. Mm-hmm. It's managed code on Windows. Mm-hmm. So
they're reliable collections, right?
Yeah. So what we are currently doing is we are migrating that entire code base to native code mm-hmm. so that, hey, you know, we can interop it from C#, from Java, from other languages that we support in the future without having to rewrite the entire stack again and again in different languages.
Yeah. Oh.
Makes sense. So, but the reliable actor is built on top of reliable service. How do you have the actor without the service?
You know, reliable actors is built on top of the service, but in this particular case, what we did is we just used KVS. Mm-hmm. So we used a third-party database.
Okay.
And we built it on top of that so that, hey, you do get the flavor for stateful services, and you can still write actor-based applications, but you don't get the power of the collections yet.
I see. Okay.
So we are using a third-party database, which will eventually be migrated to tStore. Once you have that port complete.
Okay. So on your Swiss Fabric cluster, you have some kind of a etcd or some other store?
Yeah, it's not etcd. So we are basically looking at Firebird and RocksDB. So currently it's based on Firebird, and we might choose RocksDB. We are just looking at which is the best to release the technical preview on. The current technical previews are on Firebird.
Okay.
But it's still up for grabs what we'll actually choose for the end of September technical preview.
Awesome.
Cool.
All right, so I'm just going to create a reliable actor service using Java. And I can name it my actor. And boom, it's basically created all the templates, which is kind of what you would expect when you do a file new on Visual Studio. And I'll show you have a similar experience on Eclipse as well.
Cool.
Sweet.
So now if I go into my demo folder, mm-hmm. you'll actually find that, hey, there is actually a script called install. So to make mm-hmm. your life a little easier, you don't have to remember all the commands. So it'll actually tell you what are the commands that you're going to kind of run in order to, deploy this application to a cluster. First, let me go ahead and build this application. So building is just invoking Gradle, and it'll invoke the scripts to build all the applications, all the projects associated with this. It'll be done in a couple of seconds. It's done now. Now, the first step is, this is a step that I have talked about. There is a cluster that is running, mm-hmm. and I have built my application.
Yes.
If I looked at my install.sh command, it doesn't talk about connecting to a cluster. So the first step is we want to connect to the cluster. So how do I manage the cluster? Mm-hmm. So here, what we did is we have PowerShell on Windows. And even Visual Studio uses PowerShell under the hood in order to communicate to the cluster.
Yeah.
Here, what we have is we integrated with the Azure CLI.
Uh-huh.
And we call it Azure SF CLI here because we took a fork of it and we'll merge it back to the main branch end of September. Mm-hmm. So we integrated with Azure CLI, so that gives you things like bash completion.
Cool.
And it's basically bash at that point. So I can auto-complete Azure SF CLI, Service Fabric. And the good thing about this is at any point, if you don't know what the commands that are offered there, you can click Enter to know what the commands are shown there, or you can do a dash help. So the first thing I'm going to do is going to do a cluster connect. So I'm going to connect to my local host. So I'm basically connecting to the HTTP endpoint. Mm-hmm. So in Linux, if on Windows you use port 19,000, if you have noted, because that's the TCP endpoint. On Linux, everything we try to make it Rust-based as much as possible. So we are connecting to the HTTP endpoint here as opposed to the TCP endpoint. Mm-hmm. So we connected to the cluster and now it says we've already connected. So you can now run things like Azure SF CLI, Service Fabric, cluster show, and it'll actually show you the status of the cluster. You can show the manifest. You can do things like, let's look at the nodes that are part of this cluster. I'll show you the five nodes that are part of this cluster. And you'll find that the IP address of all the nodes are localhost because it's all in this one box.
The dev box.
Yeah. Now I'm ready to deploy this application to the local cluster. So I'm just going to do an install.sh. And it's going to copy the application package over. It's going to register it with the runtime and then going to start the application. So it takes a couple of seconds to actually do that. You can see the progress here now. You know, in a few seconds, you'll see, hey, there's one application that's already been deployed.
So I guess here the application package is still just a folder? It's the same format?
Yeah, it's still the same format. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay. So how do you, so your Java application is compiled into JAR files.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's part of your code package.
Yes.
How are they launched? Will Service Fabric know how to launch a Java process? How does it work? I mean,
you have like a
for
GVM?
The service, I need to have an entry point, right? For Windows, I usually point to a executable or command line. That's my entry point. But in this case, what's the entry point?
Because it's a Java application, and this is something we support as part of our programming models. We do actually launch it for you. The requirement here is you have the open Java 8 installed on these machines for that to happen. Okay. And here I get an error. It's probably, let's see what's going on here. It might just be requiring a few seconds to stabilize. So let's give it a couple of seconds. Mm-hmm. And boom, it's now ready. So it just stabilized, and the application is ready to go now. And now I'll just do a quick demo of this application as well, and maybe show a failover as well. So let me go back here. And so as part of, now what is this application? So the application is a very simple application. So if I go into my actor, seems like I can't type. It's just a very simple counter application. So, you have Java, it's basically, some Java files which are compiled into jar. So all what it's doing is it's getting a count, and it's updating the count and returning the count. So getting the count value, it's adding one to it and returning the count value, which is very similar to
so the
default. Exactly.
Cool.
All right, so now what I'm going to do is I'm just going to I also have, the template by default also generates a client application here.
That's
so
nice.
It allows you to test it to make sure it works. I'm just going to go to my Actor test client. And I'm just going to run test client. So this will basically return a count. So it's returned a count that one is what it's getting.
Mm-hmm.
And to make it more interesting, I'm going to do a watch minus N two. So what this is going to do is it's going to show the client as every couple of seconds, it's going to keep updating. So you can see that the current value is getting updating 11, 13, 15, and so on.
Awesome.
And now I can actually demo failover, similar to what you would do in Windows. I can find out, hey, what is the node this Actor service is running on? And obviously, same concepts. So all the same concepts, primary, secondary. The primary is on node 3.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go to node 3. I'm going to say, let's actually do a deactivate remove data on it. And it warns you that you don't want to do this ever on a production cluster, obviously. And now, if I go back to my
terminal,
in a couple of seconds, it's going to have an error, and then it's going to continue the count from where it was. So it's gotten an error, and in a couple of seconds, as you can see, the count is still just resuming. You didn't lose the count. Your state was maintained.
Awesome.
Just like you
That's
would
great.
Do.
That's great. That's really great. Yeah.
All right. Now, so I'm just going to go ahead and enable this. Sorry, go ahead.
So for the tracing information you see on the console, is that integrated with like a syslog or something?
No, it's not integrated. Well, for the what we are using on Linux is we are using LTTNG for most of our tracing data. Mm-hmm. So we do capture runtime traces, but if you want any application level tracing, you know, you have a ton of frameworks on Linux that you can mm-hmm. use. Yeah. Windows, you use ETW because that's the most common, that's the common format, and that's what everyone uses. Mm-hmm. On Linux, you can use LTTNG or pretty much any for your application traces. It's up to you.
Okay.
To
use. All right.
So now what I'm going to go ahead and show is, well, let's go ahead and deploy the same application to a remote cluster. So I have an Azure cluster set up, and I can even show you quickly how to create an Azure Linux cluster as well. I won't go through it, but...
Yeah. Just show us the part where you select.
Yeah, that's pretty much the most interesting part of it. So just going to log into my screen.
Yeah, we are developers. We want to see it for sure.
That is the setup.
It's like, our viewers went to the screen as well.
And again, the experience of creating the cluster, again, exactly the same as you would do on Windows, but mm-hmm. see, magic.
Yeah.
Oh. There you go.
And yes, I realize Linux is not just one operating system. There are multiple flavors of operating systems here.
Right.
This is just an artifact that today we are supporting only Ubuntu.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But eventually, you know, we'll be supporting other distros as well.
Awesome.
Great.
But
and once you do this, now you will be actually creating a Linux cluster, and everything else is the same. You can configure it exactly the same way.
Great.
So I've created a few clusters already, and I'm just going to go back to one of these here. So this is one that I've created already, cloud.azure.com. And it's basically showing me that it has an application that is running there, and it has 5 nodes, status is healthy, and everything.
Awesome.
Yeah. Since all the time you actually show things that are always healthy, I do have another cluster where things are not always healthy, just to show you how it looks like, because not every time it works the way it's supposed to be. So here, I have an application that is purposely in error, mm-hmm. Visual Objects application. And so you can see, hey, one application is healthy and one application is unhealthy.
Okay.
So a couple of clusters that I created, and we'll show a couple of things.
Cool. So I guess for the Java application, if you want to hook into the health model, you just use the Java SDK to report the health telemetries.
Yep. Cool. Exactly. Same as you would do on C#.
Cool. Yep.
And can you go from your terminal and to connect to this cluster?
That's exactly what I'm going to show now.
Oh. All
right.
So
he's prepared.
So now, you know, the same application, the demo app, what I'm going to now do is I'm going to basically connect it to the cluster that I just showed. So I do Azure as a CLI, Service Fabric, Cluster Connect, and instead of specifying the local host mm-hmm. name, I specify tradlinux.northwestus.com. And I have to provide the HTTP path as well. So, and in a couple of seconds, now it's connected to my cluster in Azure. And to prove to you that I'm not lying, I will just do a node show, so you'll actually see different IP addresses now.
Yeah,
so you can see, you know,
private IPs of the
and you see the private IPs exactly, and you know, if you went here, like, you would see the same IPs as well. Mm-hmm. So for example, this one is 10.07. Mm-hmm. That's the same thing that you see there.
And I guess when you make the connection, it supports cert authentication as well.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, this is an unsecure cluster, but exactly, like, you should be setting up secure clusters, mm-hmm. and
do not connect to it.
Well, that's okay. By the time when this video is released, the cluster
would be long gone.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So we just, you know, we are at the cusp of providing secure cluster support. So that's why I'm just showing it in a demoware right now.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, certificate authentication is there and everything. Now what I'm going to do is I've connected to the cluster.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can use the same commands here. You know, these are the same things that I'm going to do. There's nothing that changes other than my connection to the cluster mm-hmm. to deploy this to that cluster.
That's
so I could
do
.sh, and in a few seconds, I'll keep watching. this page now, and you will see that my number of applications moves from 1 to 2. One more application gets added to this.
Cool.
Get a couple more minutes, probably. So it's copied the application over. It's now registering it. Mm-hmm. So soon it should appear here. Mm-hmm. Let's make this faster. Yeah, so the application has appeared. It's about to start the application. So in a few seconds, you'll actually see now two applications. There we
cool.
go.
That's cool. Great.
Oh, yeah. All right. It's working.
Yes. It's working, yep.
Let's ship it.
Cool.
So you've got an application written in Java, deployed to your local cluster and deployed to the remote cluster. But actually, I have another question regarding the Java application deployment in general. So the Java runtime, apparently we don't package that for you. So the user is responsible to put the Java runtime onto the host machines? Is that the general practice?
So if you are on a one box, so what we, you know, like most things in, in Linux, what we essentially do is we say that these are all the sets of dependencies that we have mm-hmm. for this particular package. So when you're installing Service Fabric SDK, it's going to say these are all the packages that it's going to bring in as part of its dependencies. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, it's up to the user. If they say yes to it, then it's going to go and pick off from the apt repo all the other runtimes that are dependencies. Mm-hmm. So we are using OpenJDK. So mm-hmm. while if you look at our SDK, all what the SDK contains is our runtime and our bits. Mm-hmm. All the dependencies, I just mentioned we use LTTNT for tracing, are basically dependencies of the SDK. So when you're installing it, you will actually, as a user, you are pulling it down mm-hmm. from the various places.
Yeah, but that's the SDK installation. I'm talking about the cluster.
In the cluster, since we are installing the runtime using a very similar mechanism, so that when you install the runtime, it will actually bring in all the other dependencies and install it.
I see.
All right, so it's going to take a few minutes to stabilize, so I'm just going to...
Trust you.
Now, what I wanted to show you is, in addition to all this, I mentioned that we have a Mac support. Mm-hmm. So in Mac, what we are essentially doing is we have Vagrant support. So what we have is, you know, like
can
if
you make it, it a little
yeah,
bigger?
Like I can make this bigger.
Okay, a little so, more.
So what I have is I have a Vagrant file here. So if I do a, you know, it's going to tell me, hey, you know, this is my Vagrant file. So I'm getting I have a particular box here that is actually has the bits packaged in it, so you can just start a VM with that. Mm-hmm. And I've already initiated it, so I'm just going to do a Vagrant up and, oops, I didn't have to do that. It's already running. So Vagrant SSH, and now I'm actually into a Vagrant box. So actually, what this is it's a VM. It's a Linux VM in my Mac, mm-hmm. but it looks and feels very native because of the way it is. Mm-hmm. So now I already have Service Fabric running here, so if I actually look for UX grep fabric, you'll actually find that my Service Fabric application is actually running.
Cool.
And
sweet.
I port forwarded, or rather, I forwarded this particular endpoint to a separate, to a particular IP so I can actually see it from my Mac box. So this is the IP that I'm looking at, 192.168.75.75. So if you actually go to my Vagrant file, you'll actually see this. So I created a private network in my box. Mm-hmm. So this is where I want the VM to be hosted. Mm-hmm. So I can actually look at Service Fabric Explorer from there. Uh-huh. It doesn't have anything running on it, but just wanted to show you, you could do the same thing on Vagrant. Many a times, this is a lot easier for me to actually try something out mm-hmm. quickly, and I wouldn't have to provision a separate VM in Azure or anything.
Yeah,
this will let me just quickly play with things.
Look at us using Vagrant.
Yeah, since you can already put all this thing
Mac.
In the Vagrant image.
Yeah.
How about Docker containers?
we should come to that.
Okay.
Same. Everything is the same here. You know, I can do yeoman Azure SF, and mm-hmm. it'll actually bring me the same Service Fabric generator, so I can actually create applications. Azure SF CLI is there in Vagrant. So it's essentially, because it's a Linux VM underneath it, so mm-hmm. so everything is still the same. Just
cool.
showing you that.
Cool.
Now, before I segue into your favorite topic, there's one more thing I want to know.
Yeah.
So when you look at Java, when you look at Linux developers, there are people who use code editors primarily. Mm-hmm. And there are also, you know, when you look at Java developers also like to use Eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to make sure that, hey, you know, we provide some experience which is similar to Visual Studio with C# on Windows with the same kind of GUI experience on Eclipse. So on Eclipse, we have a Service Fabric plugin that I've deployed here, I've installed here. So now if I actually go to do File, New, I realize it's a little hard to see, but yeah. New, and if I go to Other, and now if I search for Service Fabric, it's actually going to tell me, hey, you know, there are three kinds of Service Fabric applications that you can create. You know, guest binary, Service Fabric actor, mm-hmm. or stateless service. And you could do exactly the same thing as that I did earlier. Like you can select Service Fabric actor and give it a name. Let's call it demo 2 and finish. This will create all the scaffolding that is needed, you know, all the code that is needed in order to create your application, and you can again go into this code, edit it with your using your using whichever editor you want, or using Eclipse. You can mm-hmm. do that. Now let's actually go ahead and you know, just for the heck of it, build yeah. it and deploy it. So you can go to run configurations, and we have here, you know, a couple of Gradle tasks, which are, you know, you have a build task and a deploy task. Mm-hmm. So if you run the deploy task, it's just going to build it and then deploy it. So it's now building it, and in a few seconds it'll deploy it. And in a few seconds, if I looked at my localhost machine, I should see that, hey, there are two applications that might show up here. Mm-hmm. I mean, a total of three.
So how do you point to a different cluster in the IDE?
In the IDE, so that's something that is still a work in progress. We just finished the local cluster part of it, but we want to make sure it points to a remote cluster.
Okay.
So here it's actually showing up. Cool. The next application type is test application type. The application name, I think, is... So now you have that application also show up in the cluster. Now, you do have an option in the IDE where, you know, you can specify a remote cluster in the configurations that I showed you, mm-hmm. but it's something that's still a work in progress. So
okay. You want to surface that as a UI experience.
Yeah. Okay. We do want to bring that up. Cool. So that's your Eclipse experience as well. So Vagrant, Eclipse, Yeoman, Portal.
What's going on in Microsoft, right?
Can I go back to the Eclipse? If you don't mind, can you bring up the Java code again?
Sure. One second. So which one do you want to particularly go in?
I guess it's under, is it under code?
No, that's not
no,
the,
you
that's
want
not
the code.
You want the... You
I want to the, see where the... This is the counter...
That will be under demo 2.
Demo 2.
It'll be under here.
Oh, that's the source?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, I just want to take another quick look.
Sure. It's the same code that you saw earlier. Nothing changed.
Okay. So the programming model is similar. So basically you also implement a run async method?
Yeah. Well, it's mm-hmm. not so much a run async method because you don't have that in kind of the equivalent in Java.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, cool. We'll dive into that later. So you've showed a lot of great demos. Anything
yes.
more?
You asked me about Docker.
Containers? Yes.
Yeah.
I was trying to hint you to.
Yeah, so I'll just leave it with a little bit of a demo here as well.
Mm-hmm.
So Service Fabric is all this, and in addition, it's also a container orchestrator. It can also orchestrate containers, and containers on Linux, which means Docker containers on Linux. So when you actually set up a cluster in Azure, we actually do install Docker for you. So you're actually set up to orchestrate Docker containers.
Oh, awesome.
Because from our point of view, Docker containers are kind of the same as our guest executable. There's nothing magical about it, except we can provide a better experience in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a couple of container applications that are actually running already in two of my clusters. So let me first look at this one. And I'm just going to show the Node.js one. So here I have a Node.js container application that is running.
Mm-hmm.
And the main difference here is, you know, if you look at the manifest, the service manifest, it'll actually tell you that it's a container host.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Essentially the main difference here. It tells you that it's a container host, and when you specify an image name and it's a container host, it knows, hey, it pull it from the Docker hub. It's a little hard to see.
Yeah, can you make it a little bigger?
not going to be easy, I think.
I think I can just do command plus.
Slide up.
No?
Because it's a VM, so
I see.
The,
okay.
the keys are not. So I'll just highlight these. So
you'll have to believe us.
Yeah. I think it's okay. Our video is high resolution.
Yeah. So all what it says is container host and what image name that is drawing from, and that's cool. essentially what it's doing. Right. And at this point, it's a container. So now, if I hit the endpoint of this application, this is the endpoint of that particular application. It's actually, you know,
that's a Node.js server.
Not this one. I'm sorry, I got the wrong one. This should be T ready. Let's just do it here so I can actually make it bigger for you because there's nothing special there. So this one is where I was showing it, so I'll just show you this one. Okay, so this is what I was showing earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it's a little easier to read.
Yeah.
And if I hit the endpoint, you know, it's just, it's basically running Node.js in a Docker container on Service Fabric.
Yeah, you think about it. That's a Node.js in a Docker container on a Linux machine orchestrated by Service Fabric.
That's so good. Wonderful.
Yeah. And you know, there are other, there's, you know, I leave you with a little more, you know, I can show you one more demo. Mm-hmm. So here, you know, I have two applications running here. Let's just see if this comes up. Again, I can show you another container demo where I can, it seems like I need to reset this cluster.
Yeah, maybe
and you could either do it like in Vagrant, you know? Like
yes, and yes, you can do it in Vagrant.
That's awesome.
And
so, same with containers. We are saying Service Fabric can be an orchestration engine. Then we have to compare with what's out there, like Mesos, Swarm. How do we position, or how do we differentiate?
So, you know, like when you look at Service Fabric, you know, container orchestration, like, it's just one piece of what it provides. It provides you know.
It's like, a whole pass.
Yeah, it's a whole package, and like, you know, you don't want the case where, hey, if you know Service Fabric on Windows or Linux, hey, you can use this on both operating systems. You are not limited to one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it is it provides you with a microservice programming model. Mm-hmm. It provides you with all the cluster management utilities, all these powerful capabilities, zero downtime upgrades, and alongside it also provides you with container orchestration. So, it's not a fair comparison in some respects because Service Fabric does. It does that, and it does a whole lot more.
Yeah, that's a lot more. Okay.
Sweet.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah.
So, what's the future looking like?
Well, the future is we are going to be taking the wraps of it soon, going from private technical preview to a public technical preview, and then we are looking for people to provide feedback so we can continue to improve the experience. We are looking at things like, hey, can we even though we are running on Vagrant on a Mac, we're saying, hey, can we actually bring Eclipse also on the Mac and do all the Vagrant stuff under the hood so you never know what is happening?
Awesome. That's exactly what I was thinking. That was going to be my second question.
Yeah. So we are looking at that. And then I already talked about having reliable collections, the stateful services part of this. So that's a long lead project that we are working on, moving the entire code base to native so we can plug in from other languages.
Cool.
So, and also, you know, small little things, keeping on improving the scenarios, all the scenarios, making sure that we are taking customer feedback and, just
what about languages that we want to support? Language
so languages, right now,
or environments.
So both, I can answer both. So languages right now, it's Java and C# on Linux. It's C# on Windows. We'll move Java also there at some point. But what we are doing is we are waiting for, as I said, the actor stuff, we actually had to rewrite everything from C# to Java in order to support this. But we don't want to do that for every language. So we would rather provide all of this, you know, when we migrate the collections down to native, tstore down to native, then supporting new languages is just providing simple wrappers which can plug into this.
Yeah.
And so at that point, you can mushroom the number of languages you support.
Yeah, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, and if we do plan to put some of this code out there so people can support whatever language they want by just looking at the code that we are using and doing that. To answer your other question in terms of platforms, today it's Ubuntu, limited to Ubuntu, but we are looking at other distros, and again, it's a matter of time.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Sweet.
Okay. So in terms of feedbacks, is there a link or email or Twitter handle that user can use to reach out to you?
Yeah, so you can, all this can be reached out to the normal Service Fabric Twitter handle, you know, hash as Service Fabric, and same Stack Overflow forums and MSDN forums. Okay. Everything is the same. This is not a, it's not a separate product as much as, well, it's still, it's very much Service Fabric.
Yes. All right.
It's just, we are supporting a different flavor of it. And yeah.
Cool. So your Twitter account, or you have
Do you have a personal Twitter handle you want to share?
No, I don't have a personal Twitter. It's just hash.
Then we'll use the same hashtag.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So thank you very much. This is great. And this concludes our three-part series on Service Fabric.
Thank you for joining us.
As I mentioned earlier, on November 4th, we'll have an 8-hour live broadcast of Service Fabric on MVA. So tune into that as well. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Hishi.
Thank you.
Thank you.